Blog Talk Radio.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Yeah, I'm feeling good today, sporting backpacks and they're on their way. Yo, trying to learn the things we like, going to my class, everything's alright. Oh, no one as smart as you, no one as cool as you. No, whatever grade level or type of school, my class is gonna rule, yeah. Now I got my class together, I got my lesson plans together, yeah. You know I got my act together, I'm shaping students that'll shape forever. The greatest changes in the world will almost always start at schools. And you know my mom and daddy didn't raise no fool. I can change the world for better, I can change the world for worse. So I choose to be a teacher and a blessing, not a curse. Singing this song to open up their eyes, jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, you're opening up the minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. I run my class like I know I should, I'm making young stars like I'm Hollywood. I thought you understood, I'm the difference in my class for the greater good, yeah. Getting my class to spread the wind, being at school makes me wanna sing, oh. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. We can change the world together, teachers, we can make it better.
Change the world.
It feels like it's been cold forever, I think it's time we change the weather. We can, we will, we must succeed. Children are the future, and the future's gaining speed. If you're gonna grow the plant, then you gotta plant the seed. And if you're gonna reach a child, it starts by giving them what they need.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes. I'm jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is on time, gotta open up their eyes. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Teacher, I'm a teacher, yeah.
You know, I think I'll start tomorrow.
I don't have that kind of space.
We got all of these excuses.
And we're not doing what it takes.
You're thinking you don't have the power.
Look me in the face.
You have the kind of power
that could change the human race.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes. I'm jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine.
Oh, class is online,
gotta open up the mind.
I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm a teacher, let me see the way you shine.
Live on Tribe Family Channel Teacher Talks with co-host Stacy McClam and Beverly Black. And I am she, Beverly. What's happening, Stacy?
Hey, Beverly. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year to our listeners. We have a lot to cover. Just to qualify ourselves, I am Beverly Black, and I am the founder of Gumbo for the Soul Literacy Program, and I have a special interest in literacy. Stacy, being an educator, can tell you what her degree is in. Go ahead, Stacy, before we get into this phenomenal discussion.
Okay, so I was an elementary school teacher for almost 10 years. I taught first grade through fourth grade, but mostly first and second grade during those years, mostly first grade. And I got frustrated with the school system. I went to law school for education reform reasons. But I realized the law takes too long, so I went back into the classroom, and I resigned from the teaching profession last July, and I wrote a book about it last summer entitled School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching, that basically talks about why I left the profession and includes some information about teacher trauma, which is something that a lot of people don't talk about, but something that a lot of teachers endure. So, yeah, I'm excited for today's conversation.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. You know, and I have to just, you know, give you a special commendation because you have really stepped out to be a voice for secondary traumatic stress disorder. And people do not realize it, and you brought it to my attention. And it really made me interested in knowing, you know, what happens and, you know, being able to address this on this platform. You know, again, I want to thank you for being a voice for teachers and for a subject that is rarely discussed. So on this show, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, I am Beverly Black, and I am the founder of Gumbo for the Soul Literacy Program, and I am afforded the beautiful opportunity to co-host Teacher Talks with Stacey McClam, former educator turned author and lawyer, and someone that has stepped out to address secondary traumatic stress as it relates to educators, and she has wrote about it, she speaks about it, and she's also a filmmaker. If you don't know, you do now, in case she has to document this journey. This is now 2019, and we have a government shutdown, teachers on strike, a compromised White House, and a nation under duress. And we are talking about secondary traumatic stress. Added to that, Stacey, I know that you are traveling, but the LA teacher strike that you would have no doubt been right there on the front lines, because I've gotten to know you a little bit, excuse me, and you are boots on the ground. I wish I had your energy because you are definitely boots on the ground. So what I would like to do is, now that I am on the LA Times website, just want to brief what they are reporting. And it says about 31,000 members of the teachers union had agreed to walk out to try to win smaller class sizes, more support staff at schools, and better pay. So the article reads that Los Angeles teachers walked off the job Monday morning in their first strike in 30 years, placing hundreds of thousands of students in limbo. About 31,000 members of the teachers union had agreed to walk out to try to win smaller class sizes, more support staff at schools, and better pay. Thousands of picketing teachers and other union members, many of whom had arrived at their schools before sunrise, joined the mid-morning downtown rally in the chilly rain along with some students and parents. Then they marched roughly a mile to school district headquarters on Beaudry Avenue. Michael Lamont, 48, who teaches third grade at Hooper Elementary, said the march represented the unity of teachers working for better conditions. Now, this being their first strike in 30 years, that is in it of itself a testament of the patience and endurance, because we know that educators are underpaid, understaffed, overworked, and often have to spend their own money on supplies for the students. Now, I'm going to close this browser, and let me just check their Twitter to see if there's any updates as it relates to the strike, and I don't see any updates. So let me ask you to chime in, Stacey, and give us your take on the teacher strike, because you are actually from that area, and I want to hear from you and what you know the challenges to be that has really, you know, perpetuated this strike. You don't just, you know, 31,000 people don't just agree to go on strike for nothing. So,
right.
Give us your input.
Yes, and I mean, basically, I just think the teachers are fed up. And I also want to say that the United Teachers of Los Angeles, the union that represents the teachers, the strike included teachers, nurses, librarians, mm-hmm. counselors, psychologists, coaches, and arts educators. And the reason why that's important is because, yeah, it deals with if you don't have those type of a fully staffed school, which most schools in like Title I schools in low income areas do not have a fully staffed, people in these positions. These are crucial positions. Like I said, counselors and psychologists, kids that have a lot of mental health issues, where's the teacher going to go when there's no counselor or psychologist, or the psychologist may only come Tuesdays and Thursdays, or the nurse may only be there half a day? So, you know, it directly affects what goes on in the classroom. And I don't know if the people in the district, just because they're not in the classroom, they don't see the effects of what happens when you don't have a fully staffed school. I don't know if that's the reason. I know obviously money, they say, is an issue, but you have to invest in these, you know, types of programs staff if you want schools and students to be successful. So I just think teachers are fed up of just letting this slide by. Like, nothing happens. It's just become normal that this is okay. And so the burden falls back on the teacher is the problem, because we're having to do all of these jobs because we don't have a fully staffed school. And that's not, of course, all schools. Go ahead.
Well, let me just also interject to piggyback off of all of those responsibilities. And then you have the Board of Education and the school systems cranking down on the teachers with different changing policies to increase test scores and, performance rates and what have you. And how can you actually focus on performance when you're under duress about so many other things, not to mention we haven't even touched on school safety. Okay, that
right.
is because I have superintendents that are connected to Tribe Family Channel out of Texas that were like right by the mass school shooting right near their district. And how do you prepare for so much if you're already dealing with so much and you're also expected to add to that security and possibly owning a handgun, you know, or packing a handgun in school? So there's a lot to contend with. All of the aforementioned aspects that you mentioned, Stacey, is one of the things that contributes, or are many of the things that contributes to the secondary traumatic stress that people carry, educators, counselors, principals. We cannot forget the principals and others that are within the school environment. And so let me just briefly say what the signs of secondary traumatic stress are and just read a brief about managing traumatic stress. And basically I'm reading from traumaawareschools.org. So traumaawareschools.org, has a page about secondary stress. Signs of secondary traumatic stress. Secondary traumatic stress can impact all areas of your life. The effects can range from mild to debilitating. If you think you might be at risk, be alert for any of the following symptoms: emotional, feeling numb or detached, feeling overwhelmed, or maybe even hopeless. Stacey, can you touch on that feeling as it relates in your book and your being in the educational environment? Let's talk about the emotional aspects of feeling numb or defeated, feeling overwhelmed, or maybe even hopeless as an educator.
Definitely. On page 32 of my book, I talked about how chaos at my school, I said, chaos is normal at many schools. I was going crazy. I couldn't express my pain. I couldn't wrap my head around the chaos that I saw on a daily basis at school. I would tell the other teachers that this was not normal in order to reassure myself that I was not crazy. Unfortunately, this was not a bad dream. This was reality. I would often question myself, was I being complacent and desensitized if I didn't seem bothered by the bad behavior at the school? Was I supposed to be shocked? How could chaos ever become normal? Should I just let it be? And so that it got to the point where I just let it be, where it was like, oh, you just get detached and, you know, immune to the negativity, I guess. Like, mm-hmm. That's just how these kids will be. That's just how, what kind of school this is going to be. We're just going to have lower expectations was the problem. And, I mean, nobody wants to work in an environment like that. It's low staff morale, you know, so mm-hmm. it affects everybody. If the entire staff is numb, even though teachers are still working through it and doing their best and, you know, trying to be positive for the kids, it
mm-hmm.
it's like something in the back of your head that still made me, like, depressed, if that makes sense. Like, I could put on a front and be happy for the kids and work my butt off so to help them learn, but inside I'm still depressed because I know that we could do better as a nation, a district, for these students, and I knew the students weren't getting all that they could.
And really, it's operating on autopilot. Again, when I started my literacy program, I was an at-home mom. I had worked in electronics. Much of the technology that we use today, I built in those days. And going from working, making a pretty good salary, and being an at-home mom, and I was not in a happy marriage, but I operated on autopilot for the kids, for their education. I started the literacy program at my kitchen table. There were children hanging out with my kids that were not on par and not up to their grade level, be it the church where they would stand there and, you know, fumble over reading out of the word, but yet they're in, you know, tailored clothing and alligator shoes and 8, 9 years old and can't read and, you know, or be it, you know, being gifted with all of the latest electronics and toys and what have you, and yet held back a grade. So these were the type of children that were, you know, in my children's company. And I absolutely am a very hands-on mother, all in the school, the class, in the office, everywhere. Everywhere my children would be at school, you will find me, because they're not at home, so I don't know what's going on, so I have to be there and observe what my children are taking in and what they're being fed on the daily and how their safety and well-being is. And what prompted the literacy program was when at the kitchen table, children would not want to adhere to, you know, trying to catch up with their grade level, rather play on a cell phone or just be, you know, not interested at all. So I could not imagine, this is my kitchen table, so I could not imagine a classroom with a 21-to-1 ratio of students to the teacher. Well, and that's the travesty of it, that it rises and has risen. So how would you say the physical levels of your energy, because another sign of traumatic stress is having low energy and feeling fatigued. So while you're operating where you're trying to do the best for the kids, even though, you know, this is chaotic, is, you know, dysfunctional, if you will, if any environment where a child cannot sit and learn and a teacher cannot teach has introduced a level of dysfunction. So there are, you know, issues that add to that dysfunction. But how does it play its role on your physical being there, just being there? Did you get the low energy and the feeling of fatigue that you just may not make it through the day?
Definitely. During at least – at my elementary, most elementary school teachers will have a 45-minute planning period. Well, I should say some will have a planning period. So I had a planning period when my students went to their elective class. And most, so I'm supposed to be planning during that time, but I was physically too tired to plan or too mentally and physically drained that I would just sit, like, just to cope and try to regroup for the entire 45 minutes, like just trying to get myself together. Like, I just felt like I just need to sit. I just need to sit. And I wasn't the only teacher that, you know, felt that way. So, you know, I wasn't even using the time that I had to prepare, to get ahead. You know, it had to be used to cope, basically. And so
All right.
I wrote in my book also, yeah, page 31 and 32, most of the time on the weekends, I was too tired for recreation and proper quality time with friends and family. I just wanted to sleep. Like, literally, that's all I wanted to do on the weekends. So it just puts teachers in a really unfortunate situation, and that's why I feel that, you know, teachers are just fed up with it, because you've had teachers striking in Oklahoma, Kentucky, Arizona. And also a couple of days ago, there was an article about Sacramento, the capital of California, and their issues with, you know, the top administrators getting paid a lot of money, but it not trickling down to the classrooms. For example, there was $6 million in vacation payouts to top administrators in Sacramento, and that was published on January 10th of this year, when there's not money for other things. So I feel like there is – I know there is money, but they just don't want to give the money for –
how it's being allocated.
Right. And if they want to make the claim that there is no money, that's fine, but then have the state take it over. I don't care if the state takes over the district. Like, let the state take it over. If that's what, you know, will help for funding to get us what we need so that we can have an educated population, so be it. It's worth it to me. So then that makes me think education is not really that important. If we're not doing that for our kids, there's a problem. And I also think it's important to note that teachers, I think it's all teachers that are affected, whether you work at a challenging, so-called challenging school. Any school can be challenging, and I think certain, for example, maybe wealthy schools have different challenges. Those teachers may have a different type of challenge, and I just know that teachers work hard. And there was an article also last
week in the Los Angeles Times about the smaller class size. And for Los Angeles, it's stated that in grades, what is proposed is $75 million, which would only increase the staff to the amount where in grades 4 through 6, for example, it would only reduce the student class size by one student, just by one student, $75 million.
Wow.
So, yeah, I understand the money issue, but the district let it get to this point. And if the district, again, goes bankrupt, well, so be it. Like, what's more important?
Right, because, everyone is there for the students. It is about the students. At the end of the day, it is about creating an environment for learning and everyone doing their part. Now, you mentioned, you know, how it was affecting you physically and that all you wanted to do is, you know, sleep on the weekends. And that's one of the other signs of the secondary traumatic stress that all of this causes is behavioral. Changing your routine or engaging in self-destructive coping mechanisms. And not saying that you are being self-destructive. This is on the website. But that doesn't prevent anyone from escalating from changing routines to getting in a dangerous, you know, area where they're not taking care of themselves because, you know, emotionally, physically, now behaviorally, they are taking on all of the stress from what could be managed if all hands were on deck professionally. Now, professionally, the traumatic stress is pointed out here as experiencing low performance of job tasks and responsibilities, feeling low job morale. And you mentioned that. And the teachers that are striking and the, you know, the community that is walking with the teachers, like you said, it's a plethora of different people, counselors, students, parents,
nurses,
yes. So, I mean, professionally on the campuses where the problems are taking place, you know, it does and it can affect the job morale. You mentioned, you know, making sure that you said to the other teachers, this is not normal, so that, you know, you wouldn't start becoming numb and sort of like making it the new normal when it's actually abnormal. So that also would lead into the cognitive aspects, experiencing confusion, diminished concentration and difficulty with decision-making, experiencing trauma imagery, which is seeing events over and over. I could not imagine just becoming so detached and numb to this that you just feel like, okay, this is going to be the norm. That's what you said. So this is like experiencing over and over and over, day in, day out, this is going to be the norm. So how do you break out of those barriers when you think in terms of what prompted you to now make a career change and go to law school? What prompted you to break out of that box?
Not being heard. And I've taught in 3 states, 2 countries. And in the United States, it's the same pattern of, you know, the schools that I went to in different states. So it's not like it's just one region. But I guess, so when I say not being heard, it's not specifically like me not being heard by an administrator. It's just as a whole, as a collective, I feel like teachers at a school are not heard, even if the principal does a good job and is the type of principal that is a good leader and really encourages the staff and understands their struggles and what they're dealing with. I feel like the administrator is limited also. So, like I said, even if you have a good administrator, they're tied to the district. The district is tied to the state. So everybody's hands are tied, and the administrator can only do so much because of the district. The district can only do so much because of the state. And so it's a bigger issue, and I just feel like teachers are at the bottom, and nobody's listening to us ever with anything, curriculum, anything that we know answers to. We give it what we think, and it's not heard, and that just bothers me. And so I felt like if I use the law, I could somehow inform education policy, education reform. That was the goal. As I said earlier, the law sometimes takes too long, and if a law is passed, it may not be enforced. And then that's an issue with the justice system, a whole other issue. So I just felt like I could be most useful back in the classroom, practically speaking, but it got to be too much. And I even, after I resigned, I started going to a therapist, and the therapist actually said that I had post-traumatic stress disorder. And the first thing I said was, I thought that's for vets who are returning from Vietnam. And she's like, no. And she explained it to me and showed me, you know, paperwork about it. And I've gotten social media messages from people, other teachers who have experienced the same thing, whether it's PTSD or they've been diagnosed with trauma, teachers who have anxiety. I know teachers taking anxiety medication and have been for many years. I know teachers who have high blood pressure, and they've tested it where if they're not at school, their blood pressure drops significantly. Just a host of issues, headaches. So it's a widespread issue, I think, with many teachers. And I don't know what to do, so that's why I wrote the book. The book was more of therapy for me, just me getting it out. But now I want to bring even more awareness, so that's why I'm going to make a film with the same name, School Dismissed. And I'm actually working at Sundance Film Festival now in Utah. I just started today, actually. So,
wow. Congrats. You know, like I said at the beginning of the show, yeah, you really are boots on the ground, and I just commend you. I admire your tenacity and your go-getter, you know, style and personality. I just love that about you. You know, when someone walks away from teaching, goes to law school, writes up their own film company, becomes a radio show personality on the subject, I know you're serious about it. Let me ask you about another aspect on the seventh point here under secondary traumatic stress. It talks about spiritual. Questioning the meaning of life or lacking self-satisfaction. What aspect of the trials and tribulations of the classroom and the hopelessness begin to permeate into your spiritual well-being?
A lot. And that is actually part of the secondary traumatic stress. After doing research on it, I've learned that it's called different things. So some people may refer to it as vicarious trauma. Some people may refer to it as compassion fatigue, or as we're calling it here, secondary traumatic stress. But the research that I've done and also the therapist that I went to stated that that is part of it, where you lack self-satisfaction, but for teachers it comes out of the fact that you do feel hopeless, helpless, powerless. So that goes back to what I was saying about teachers not being heard. Like, there's nothing you can do. You can't. It hurts to see, because you went into teaching because you want to help kids. So you know the kids have some issues. You can't help them. There are no resources to help the kids, so you can't do anything. So I felt like, why am I here? Spiritually, what am I doing? Why am I coming
and
to
you know,
like, I didn't feel effective.
And you really lead right into the last point, which is interpersonal. You said, why am I here? And the interpersonal part is physically withdrawing or becoming emotionally unavailable to your coworkers or your family. Back to wanting to sleep in that weekend. So we covered emotional, physical, behavioral, professional, cognitive, spiritual, and interpersonal. These are the different areas of your life that secondary traumatic stress affects, and known by other names like Stacy just mentioned. We're going to talk about managing secondary traumatic stress, and we're going to talk about some more of the teacher strike. So let us just take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Hey guys, it's me, Michelle Berard, host of Somewhere in the Middle and founder and CEO of Urban Book Editor, LLC. Are you feeling like you're stuck and can't move forward? Have you been struggling to birth a big goal like a book or a business? Are you feeling overwhelmed and looking to make changes in your career? If you're at all like me, when that deer in headlights feeling hits you, you just don't know where to begin. Yeah, you can talk with friends or family, but when you're in need of an objective opinion, it helps to speak with someone who's prepared to listen and to provide practical guidance to help you move forward. That's where a coach comes in. That's why I'm so excited to share with you that energy worker and coach Julia Black and I have teamed up to help you get unstuck and start moving towards your goals again. And to make it easy for you, we're offering a complimentary call with one of us to help you start moving forward. All you have to do is go to WeRiseMovement.com to schedule your free insight and inspiration call with either Julia or me. The Insight and Inspiration Call can help you get clear about your goals, uncover hidden challenges that may be hindering your progress, discover steps you can take today to move toward accomplishing your goals, and you'll leave the session feeling renewed, re-energized, and inspired to take action. Visit WeRiseMovement.com and schedule your free Insight and Inspiration Call today. That's WeRiseMovement.com.
And just so you know, ladies and gentlemen, you are live on Tribe Family Channel Teacher Talks with myself, Beverly Black. I am the founder of Gumbo for the Soul Literacy Program, and Teacher Talks on Tribe Family Channel is a Gumbo for the Soul International family brand created by Beverly Black and sponsored by School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching, by Stacy McClam. So be sure to visit Stacy's website and Amazon.com so that you can pick up her book and identify with yourself and how the role of secondary traumatic stress plays with you, be it an educator or a parent. As the founder of Gumbo for the Soul Literacy Program at my kitchen table, teaching my children, the one thing I commanded, absolutely commanded, was that my children were ready for school when I dropped them off. And I announced that you are receiving one of America's finest. So I set the bar high. My expectations were that the teachers were ready to teach because my children are ready to learn. But somewhere there in the middle is the pay and the circumstances that the teachers have to deal with. So here we are on Teacher Talks with Stacy McClam and Beverly Black. Now, Stacy, you went back to school and you published a book. Now, we're going to talk about managing secondary traumatic stress. I'm just going to read this, these couple of paragraphs, really quick, short, brief paragraphs, and I read fast. And then I want you to expound on what is working for you and give us some info and insight that connects to your book as we deal with managing secondary traumatic stress. So this article, again, ladies and gentlemen, on traumaawareschools.com, it says, managing secondary traumatic stress, awareness is the key to managing secondary traumatic stress for the organization and for individuals. A school community can share information about the signs of secondary traumatic stress so staff members recognize the signs in themselves and in others. Regular small group check-ins can be an outlet for feelings of frustration and stress. Acknowledgement of the stressful conditions by administration can help educators feel heard. Individuals can protect against manage secondary traumatic stress by practicing self-care through regular exercise, a healthy diet, and sufficient sleep. Activities such as yoga or meditation can be helpful in reducing general stress. It is important for staff to take time away from the stress-inducing situation. Spending time with family or friends or focusing on a project or hobby can help. Secondary traumatic stress goes beyond regular stress. A counselor can be a resource for strategies to cope with the symptoms and to heal. Stacy, you said that you sought counseling. In what ways were you able to heal and connect the dots to your book, Walking Away from Teaching?
Counseling definitely helped me. I'm actually still going, but unfortunately I did not start until after I left teaching. I should have been going when I was teaching. A couple of years ago I did go. I did have counseling, but I stopped. And then should have continued, but I didn't. And one, I would just suggest to any educators listening that I think it's important to find a good counselor or a counselor that you can relate to. So if you happen to get paired with a person that, you're not really vibing with, I would, seek out other counselors because it's worth your investment to be with someone that you can be honest with because you need help. So I think some teachers maybe don't go to therapy, but I think sometimes when teachers get together and vent after school, like really fast in the hallway or something, it's more of a therapy session for them. Like they're getting their voice heard, they're getting it out. So I think that can be helpful too. I held a lot of my stress in my upper shoulder neck area. So I was going to massages while I was teaching, getting massages. And the massage therapist that I went to also did Reiki. So she was able to shift my energy. Some of my chakras were blocked. And so she would shift my energy and I would do that every 2 weeks. So that helped. You have to be very purposeful and mindful, intentional about continuing the practice because you can go get a massage like I did, get Reiki, but then you go back to school on Monday and you've kind of lost it. So you have to.
Well, that's just like going to church. That's just like going to church, just to interject. You know, you go to church on Sunday, get all prayed up. By Monday, your boss got you with your hands ready to ring.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Threw down the Bible.
Right. So I don't necessarily know how to maintain it, but I do like the fact that what you read about the principal acknowledging, that's very
helpful because it makes it feel like you're being heard. At least it did for me, that somebody, you know, recognizes what's going on and, you know, just to be heard. Like, it's important because the teachers are the ones in the classroom. We're working directly with the kids, so we see a lot.
Right.
And
right.
We have a lot of solutions that aren't being heard. So
right. Well, now, speaking of being heard, we have some callers on the line that have been hearing our voices, and I'm hoping that they will give us the honor and privilege of hearing their voices. So I am preparing to open up the phone lines. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to Teacher Talks live via Tri-Family Channel. And this show is co-hosted by Stacey McClam, former educator, attorney, author, radio personality, and filmmaker. And I am Beverly Black. I'm the founder of Gumbel for the Soul Literacy Program. Trap Family Channel is a Gumbel for the Soul international family brand. So that is the home of Trap Family Channel and my Gumbel for the Soul publications. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you, again, will grace us with your concerns, feedback, or your questions as I prepare to open up the phone line. And I don't want you to be shy, so I'm going to call upon area code 815. Area code 815, your line is open. Do you have a question or a comment for Stacey or myself?
Hello, my name is Anlita Buchanan, and I am a former educator in Chicago, a suburb of Chicago. And I just want to say thank you to you ladies for even having this platform for discussion. Stacey and I are Instagram friends, and we've actually been having some conversations. She invited me to tune in today, and I'm very glad that I did. But we were just saying how, you know, there are different types of trauma. And when I heard Stacey talk about her secondary trauma with the students and kind of taking on a role of almost like an empath role, like where you are literally taking on their trauma and it affects you as well. Mine just comes from a different standpoint and a different perspective. I have administrative trauma. The kids are never an issue for me, but my trauma came from a different place. I had trauma in terms of my cultural presence. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with the way schools are set up here in Illinois, but you have Chicago Public Schools, and then you have everybody else. So I'm out here in the suburbs. All of my teaching experiences have been in suburban schools. And I'm very sad to say that a lot of my trauma has been, I'll say, 50% cultural and 50% administrative/staff-related. I am not tenured yet. I like to describe my experience as a bouncing ball. After a while, you just get tired of that. You know, you're satisfactory for a year or two. But when I show too much of myself, and you guys can't physically see me. I do know Stacey has seen my page. But I come with the Black Teachers Matter T-shirts. I come with the head wraps. I come with my natural hair. I do not assimilate, and I do not apologize for it. And I found that that just leaves me in a space where I'm always non-tenured. And you guys know if you're not tenured, they don't have to give you a reason to let you go. You just have to get out of there. So that type of trauma, never being written up, never really being given a reason why I can't necessarily stay at that school, but really knowing deep down inside what it is very traumatic. And I'm at the point now where I just don't trust staff. I don't trust administration. I'm very honest about that. And October 15th, I walked away from teaching.
Now, I really appreciate your transparency. And, you know, you're at home. This is Tribe Family Channel. So let me break it down in sister speak. So basically, you are too Black for them. Like you said, you show up with your head wraps, your natural hair, and they are intimidated by you. They are at a loss for cultural diversity, and you're basically, are you a black teacher in a white environment, basically? Or is this, when you say suburban, tell me if, I mean, because we're, this is real tough. So,
I've been in
black teacher, white environment, yes or no?
So, I've been in three different environments up to this point. The original environment was, well, as far as teachers are concerned, it's predominantly white. I'll just put it that way. The demographics of the school do not reflect the staff that they're hiring, and that's a big issue for me. Why do I sit in district trainings and meetings within my own building? There are times where I'm the only black teacher. There are times when there are maybe two of us. That's not enough when the demographics of your school is showing. The last school that I was at, I was the only black, and I'm a special educator too, so I'm kind of like a, I call myself like a black unicorn. So I'm a special educator, teacher of color, and when I look at my students and they're black and Hispanic, and yet I'm the only teacher of color that they have to come to outside of either a PE teacher or someone that does not have a direct connection to their learning. So it's very I just feel like as a black educator who does not assimilate, because don't get it twisted, there are tenured black teachers out here in the suburbs, but sorry to offend, to me, they assimilate. I speak up for my black and brown children. I make no apologies. I call a spade, I'm seen as angry or confrontational, and that's okay, I'll be that, you know, but you will not mistreat or mislabel my black and brown children while I'm sitting at the table. So my parents love me.
Girl, who you going to open up your charter school? I'm advocating for your charter school. When you let me know when it's coming.
With a lot of prayer and patience and surprise, I just recently got hired as a CPS teacher. So, you know, you don't want to leave the profession, but when you're repeatedly bounced around and told you're not good enough, well, I'm going to give CPS a try. I feel like the environment is different and the acceptance culture at this school is different, and I'm actually going to take you guys on a journey through my Instagram page, so hopefully my transparency and even sharing that and the difference between the suburbs and CPS will bring some light onto what we're experiencing here, in particular in Illinois. So I don't know what other states are like or what other people's experiences are like, but yeah, I definitely have PTSD, and I make no qualms about it. If you look on my Instagram page, I talk about it, and I'm honest about it.
Well, now, hang on 1 second. Go ahead, Stacey.
No, go ahead, Beverly.
No, go ahead, because I'm flipping the switch.
I didn't want you to lose your thought.
I won't. Go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say I'm glad that you brought up, you know, another side of trauma, because, yes, what I experienced, that type of trauma does not relate to everyone. And I do have friends in similar situations as you, except they're teachers who have been in, I'll say, hostile work environments and have been labeled as aggressive with parents and students, but it's not even being aggressive necessarily. And I don't know, I do know that label came because of their race and gender, but it's things where the teacher just has very high expectations. And so when she expects all the students to act to meet those expectations, then that's when she's seen as aggressive. From the experiences that I've had with my friends, that's what they're telling me. And so, yes, then they also experience trauma, and we talk about it a lot. So it's interesting the different dynamics that play out in schools depending on what type of school you work at, and it's unfortunate for teachers and administrators.
Well, I'm glad that, you know, I stayed on the parental side, you know, and that alone kept me with one foot on the streets and one foot headed for jail. Okay, you messed with one of my kids. So, you know, I have four children and they all know. Had I ever worked at the school? Oh, baby, please. I'll send your child home with lines for your parents to write, okay? I bet you're going to behave in my class. But, you know, that's being on the outside of the picture, not inside the frame. Within the frame, And in the layout of this land and the demographics that you're dealing with, it's a whole new set of issues that teachers face far above and beyond the days when my children were in school. And with my youngest being 23, turning 24 this year, I know you know I'm talking about a whole different era. I'm going to open up another call. Don't go anywhere. What's your name again, caller?
Annalisa. Annalisa.
And say that one more time.
Annalisa.
Annalisa.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, hang on one second. Annalisa. And I'm going to see if I can get another caller to join us. But I want this to turn into a little round table here for the last few minutes. So area code 209, you know I'm coming for you. If you are able to come in, area code 209, come on in. Your line is open. Area code 209, are you there?
Yes.
Hello, area code 209. I'm so fond of this woman right here. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome to Teacher Talks live on Tribe Family Channel one of the Tugulu Nine from the Mississippi Library sit-in 1961 and the reason why libraries are desegregated. Her name is Mrs. Geraldine Hollis, and she is also a former educator. Hello, Queen. How are you? Well, now we're losing your voice, but I know that you are well. And Letha, myself, and Stacy, welcome your voice. If you can hear us, do you have any questions or comments? Well, all right, I know that her phone reception goes in and out, but I'm going to leave her line open because if she's able to chime in, we're going to have her just interrupt us and go ahead and chime in. The reason the library system is so important to me and why I'm so thankful for the Tugulu Nine trained by Medgar Evers is because when I went through my journey of divorce and having just started the literacy program, I wound up in the libraries to complete Gumbo for the Soul, The Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community, my first anthology endorsed by Tavis Smiley. There are hundreds of people that addressed issues for teaching our children. So I'm going to ask the question of all of you. What is the recipe for literacy in any community? Mrs. Geraldine Hollis, if you can still hear me, let us hear your voice.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Say hello to Annalisa.
Okay.
And Stacy.
Hello, Annalisa, Stacy, and Beverly.
Hello.
Hi, Ms. Hollis. Thanks for joining.
Annalisa, Stacy, and Beverly. I have been listening. And as you know, I have a project going on right now. So I was working in my workroom there. So now I'm outside in another space so I can speak without you having all of the background noise.
Oh, bless your heart.
Thank
we
you.
Won't keep you. We won't keep you long, but I just wanted the ladies to get the opportunity to meet a legend and just to, you know, always honor how grateful I am for your work in civil rights with Medgar Evers and the Tugulu Nine and also the foot soldiers. So did you have any questions or comments for either of the ladies?
I would like to say to each of them, God bless you. I retired from being a specialist in special education for 17 years in the Oakland Unified School District. And prior to that, I was a physical education teacher with a clear credential that meant that I could teach any subject. And I taught not only physical education, but English, history, typing, and family life education. Oh, and mathematics. But
good Lord, we need you back in the school.
for you, Antelita, you're in special education. I left the regular education to move to special education as an adapted PE specialist, which meant that I could work with every school in the district, and I did. I went to every school in the Unified School District in Oakland, and that was a challenge. I did that for 17 years. But what I did, and I can see what you're saying, because geographically, Oakland is actually two environments. We don't have the suburban area and the city area, and what we had was the hill area and the flat area.
Mm-hmm.
So when I joined in, that meant that there were some of the specialists, there were only four of us. Well, it was really three when I joined. And that made four specialists for the whole district. And so they would, some would have us area in the hills and some in the flatlands. And so this, and I knew that I had taught school in the flatlands, but it was a very good environment because of my knowledge and my understanding and my experiences, which were, I was from the South. And I came to Oakland, California, and I taught at that school. So I understood what needed to be done. And it wasn't an easy job, because I want you to know that although I taught for all of those years, there were some people that taught and there were some people that sort of slid on the backs of others. Now, the reason I say that is because if you just get a good example of one area, if you have physical education and you're throwing out the ball, you're not teaching. Some teachers have maybe all sports. Just I did teach all of the areas. But if you teach only football, basketball, and softball, that's not going to give the students nor any of them an idea of what school is really about. So I had 13 units a year.
Mm.
And that
wow.
meant that I had
Good
to break
Lord.
It down into everything. I did all of that, recreation, physical education, health, family life education. We had even talked to the boys and the girls about sexuality and all of those things. But those were units that I taught them. So we had to look at that. So my reasoning for changing from regular education to the special education is because there were students coming in that had problems, but they needed to learn that they were able and capable of doing things, like you were saying, Beverly, that you have to teach them. So I went into the special education, did adapted PE. They were working with students in all of these centers, all the students set up in centers. And so my thrust was to get them included into the regular program. And that's what we did, basically. We went through and we revamped the whole district program. By the way, I didn't get a PhD. I got two masters.
Wow.
And I used my skills and my education to even back then. Now I've written my book, but then I was writing handbooks for teachers. So that's what we did, and that's how we got a change for the way that the students were interactive into all of the regular programs. So that was my story about teaching.
Wow. Well,
now,
you have a phenomenal story. You have a very phenomenal story. Stacy, or what did you say your name was again, sweetie? Altaline?
No, Annalita.
Annalita. Lord, I just messed up the name, gave her a whole different name, just to reassemble the alphabet. Forgive me, sweetie.
Did either of
you have a comment or a question for Mrs. Hollis?
I mean, I'm very
humbled to even be on the call with her. First of all, I want to say thank you for even being on this call. And I was thinking visionary was the word that came to mind, because now special ed students are included, and they, by law, have to have so many minutes of inclusion with their classmates. So when you talk about piloting a program where they're being included, I mean, visionary was the word that came to mind, because now that's standard in schools. So now that's what we're required to do as special educators, which is why you have co-teachers. So, I mean, I'm amazed right now, and I'm very
humbled. Wow. Wow.
Well, I did that back in the 80s. I did that in the 80s. So that's how we got all of that started.
And I appreciate Altaline, did you say?
No.
And Lisa.
Beverly.
Can I call you Ann? You sure can.
Part of my name is Lisa.
Ann Lisa. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, Ann Lisa. Okay. You know what, Stacy hit the nail on the nose. If I can see it, I can pronounce it. Ann Lisa. Now I'll never forget it again, because she just spelled it out for me. You, she just picked up on the type of learner that I am as a teacher. Y'all children, the teacher talk live here on Tri Family Channel, and I'm surrounded by educators, y'all. I love it. I absolutely love it. All right, so now I want to go around and just get your feedback. We're not gonna keep you too much longer, Ms. Geraldine Hollis. But you know, I really appreciate, you know, what and Letha, you know, said, and that is really seeing the visionary side of your teaching and your approach, and you know, just the playing field that you tied in. Demographically, Oakland, well, how would you compare that to urban Chicago when it comes to black and brown folk? Would you say that Oakland was maybe 100% populated by black and brown students, Ms. Hollis?
Let me tell you, demographically, Oakland had one of the best mix of citizens. About 50% of, when I moved to Oakland in the late 60s, 50% of the homes were owned by blacks.
So that's by comparison
the
to
other,
San Francisco, right next door, or across the water, basically.
And, across the water, basically. But the demographics has changed so much, because now there may be about 10 to 15% of homeowners that are black. You have maybe 20 or 30 Asians. You have maybe 20 or so Hispanic, and you may have the rest of others.
All right. Well, now, I really want to thank you so much. Tell everyone where they can find, tell us the name of your book, a little brief synopsis about it, and where they can find it in case Ann Letha or Stacy wants to pick it up.
Definitely. Let me just say to Ann Letha, I went to Chicago in 2017, I spoke at the American Library Association there as one of the keynote speakers for one of the groups. And that was my first time really getting into Chicago. And although I've gone through there to really get in and to go around and see some things, but Chicago has always been a place that I really wanted to see. But anyway, everybody in the South always went to Chicago. Okay.
Wow.
I also did some other work in Wisconsin. That was very, very few of us African Americans there. And I spoke to a library there. And that was in 2017 also.
Wow.
The demographics of speaking to people, I was very well received in both of those areas for what I had to say, because people did not understand that libraries were segregated in many mm-hmm. areas. So they sort of took it for granted that all people didn't have the same rights in a library, which was a public institute. So this is the reason why I became a civil rights pioneer, putting my life on the line, is because in 1961, I, along with eight other students, walked into the city of Jackson, Mississippi library, coming from the Tougaloo College, which is a black historical college, very well known in most circles because of the type of education that we were able to get from that school. And so we did this as the first blacks to integrate or desegregate a public facility in the state of Mississippi. And the reason why we were able to do that is because it was well planned. And also the process was under the direction of Mega Evers. It was during a time when it was a very turbulent time. But at that time, we were able to do that without any incident of heavy death or injury. And the only reason we had those kinds of things to happen was when the students from Jackson State came in, because we were jailed because of that.
Wow.
And the nature of the citizens at that time, those in charge, the police and all of these, they did harm to some of the students by some of the things that they do. No one died, but they were hurt, and they had some other injuries and things. But those students had trauma in there. And the Tougaloo Nine, although we integrated the library, no one knew about us for years because it was not a lot of injury or death or whatever, but dynamically what we did made the difference, because the state of Mississippi had to focus in on what was needed for those next years, and that was they had to start getting the school systems open up. But because the school system would have been dynamic, they thought, well, we'll go ahead, which was the very next year, and we will integrate the libraries. And that way they could put the school system off for another 6 or 7 years before they did the integration. So that's what the Tougaloo Nine did to open up all of this and to get it started. And it took us 45 years before we really got the Tougaloo Nine to be acknowledged. The first
Lord
time, 45
mercy.
Years. And it was at that time we wanted to know, well, why was the Tougaloo Nine not well known as other groups? Because, you see, we went to the same school that a lot of the foot soldiers went to, and they were classmates too. So they got a lot of publicity. They got all of these things, acknowledgments and whatever. But, of course, they got hurt. So Tougaloo Nine didn't get hurt, but we really did walk in there and open that up. So my book is about the reason why I wrote it was because on the 50th year anniversary, we had another getting together. The first was 45. A second one was the 50th. And so I promised my co-workers, the co-rebels, pioneers, there were 8 of us that assembled at both those times, that I wanted to do something, because that was the question. So when I came back in 2011, I had my book where I had written my portion about my part in the Tougaloo Nine, and the reason why I could do that was basically because of the kind of student that I was. So I wrote about my story, and I hopefully wanted to let them know if they wanted to, they could, you know, tell their part. But that opened the doors for the Tougaloo Nine in terms of being in the media and online.
Wow. Mm. And let me just proudly say that Mrs. Geraldine Hollis is the host, along with the leader of the Tougaloo Nine, Mr. Joseph Jackson Jr., of Voices of Wisdom, right here live on Tribe Family Channel. And their 2019 show will kick back up on February 7th for Black History Month. So mark your calendars, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 Eastern, February 7th, Voices of Wisdom with the Tougaloo Nine. Now, Mrs. Geraldine Hollis, shout out your website right quick and the name of your book.
Okay, that's easy. www.backtomississippi.com. That is the website, and that is my book, the first book. And my second book is March Memories. And I continue to write, but I haven't published anything yet. But I do write because there are concerns.
Well, we appreciate your voice, your time,
wow,
and your talent. Go ahead. Someone wanted to say something.
Ms. Hollis, thank you so much. I just so the courage of, you know, what you've done and what you continue to do, you know, has impacted so many lives. And just I can't even imagine living during that time and, you know, having to actually desegregate a library. So, yeah, just thank you for the important work.
Well, thank you. And I continue to encourage most of my young relatives. I try to get them into college. And I want you to know that I have a niece in the Los Angeles Unified School District right now. She is doing her student teaching. She's doing a master's degree at University of California in Los Angeles there. And she is doing her teaching experience. She's teaching chemistry. I talked with a mom the other day, and her class is 40 students in a chemistry class. Okay, I want you to listen now. 8 of them do not speak English. She has an aide, and the aide doesn't know about chemistry. Her mom asked her, "Are you going out on the strike?" She said, "Yes, Mom, I really am, because I can't not acknowledge what needs to be done here."
Wow.
40 students in a chemistry class. That's a hands-on class. And an aide that doesn't know chemistry. That's a handicapping position.
And I'm surprised
so
he has an aide. Most high school classes don't even have an aide. Or middle school.
Well, that brings us back to why we are here, ladies and gentlemen, to discuss not only the Los Angeles teachers' strike, and we can just hear some of the things that they would be striking about from what Mrs. Hollis just mentioned. And that's reprehensible to have such a ratio, 40 to 1 or 40 plus to 1, is just reprehensible to even think that someone and an aide that is aideless, that is a little reprehensible to me, because what are we expecting the students to walk away with? You know, what do we expect from the teacher? How much of yourself can you, evoke into an environment where there's only one of you? So, well, now we have gone into a little bit of overtime, and I wanted to allow for that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, 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 not here. This is my house. I keep the door open as long as I like. So no apologies necessary. And we just appreciate everyone's voice here. And Letha, thank you so much for calling in. It's an honor, privilege, and a pleasure to have your voice right here with, along with Mrs. Geraldine Hollis of the Tougaloo Nine. Stacey McClam and I appreciate everyone's voice here on Tribe Family Channel. You are tuned in to Teacher Talks, and this is a Gumbo for the Soul International Family brand founded by yours truly, Beverly. I am the founder of Gumbo for the Soul Literacy Program, and I am just honored to say that we do have an initiative coming out this year of which Mrs. Geraldine Hollis has agreed to partner with me, and there will be others like retired Senator Barbara A. Robinson out of Maryland, Baltimore, Maryland, who also has her own show here on Tribe Family Channel. And I am definitely going to be getting in touch with you and Letha through Stacy so that I can beg and plead you all into the family of Gumbo for the Soul Literacy Program and the initiative. And let me just let you know what the initiative, the name of the initiative is. I won't go into details, but I just want to say, for any students that are listening, reading is good for the soul. And that will be my initiative, along with the Geniuses Common movement. So look out for a Gumbo for the Soul, Geniuses Common Literacy Initiative coming out prayerfully in the summer of 2019. So again, thank you so much for tuning in. I just want to say in conclusion, and then if anyone wants to go around for the next 5 minutes as we close at the bottom of the hour, because you are the educators, and I am so honored to have, people that can quantify and qualify this discussion. So why do the LA Teachers' Union find itself at a crossroads? For decades, United Teachers Los Angeles, United Teachers Los Angeles was the most influential force in the politics of the school system, but it has been unable in recent elections to match the campaign spending fueled by wealthy donors to support charter schools. These privately operated, mostly non-union schools now serve 1 in 5 students enrolled in L.A. public schools. L.A. has more charter schools than any other school system. So what, if any, feedback would anyone like? Well, let me just finish. The rapid growth of charter schools has created an alternate constituency of parents who support charters and may resent the dark way the union casts their schools. Now, you can go to latimes.com to get the full coverage of the L.A. Unified School District's teacher strike, but it continues that in 2017, for the first time, chartered-backed candidates won a majority on the L.A. Board of Education. A Supreme Court ruling last year has deprived UTLA, along with other California unions, of the right to collect fees from all teachers within its jurisdiction. Union membership and accompanying dues that fueled campaigns essentially have become optional. Well, I can see why that would be. If you're not in the union, you come from, and then you have the politicians now paying and funding. I can see why they're striking, but come on, educators, help me out here. Somebody make some sense out of this.
There's no sense to it, Beverly. I mean, the district could have put a limit to the number of charters that they accepted and, you know, approved, but they didn't. It's a mess. It's a educational entrepreneurship. It's just become a business, and you have a lot of wealthy donors who are just trying to make money off of our kids.
Hello?
Wow. Wow. Go ahead.
That was really true. That was really true. It's a money-making event. And that's what is happening with charter schools, because the money that you get from the state not go to the public school system, but it will go to the charter schools. And they are getting funded
by
big groups and big organizations.
Right, right. Privatized. Wow.
Yes.
Now, we must continue this conversation. Teacher Talks will return on January 28th, so we want to definitely invite you, Mrs. Geraldine Hollis, to return with us to this conversation, as well as you and Lita. And Stacy, of course, will be helping me hold it down right here live on Tribe Family Channel. So thank you once again for lending your voice, your energy, and, of course, this rife discussion. Teachers out there suffering from any type of secondary stress disorder, please don't think that you are alone. You are not, and we do understand. I am a parent that finds that it is beyond important for our children to arrive at school prepared to learn, not kicking chaos. And I, like I said, I would be in jail. I couldn't do it. I've been handed out more than the school had on the platter for me amongst my tools. And I just wouldn't have the patience for it, because everywhere I go, I'm a mother. Okay, so little Johnny, if you don't sit your baby Miss Black,
right.
You can't talk to the kids like that. We're listening on the intercom. Okay, well then you get in here and tell little Johnny what I said and how I feel. Okay,
right.
So I commend you teachers for keeping parents like me out of the classroom. And for being on the front line to teach our children, but more importantly, for taking care of yourselves and for being brave enough to raise your voice. Just like Ann Letha said about Mrs. Geraldine Hollis, a visionary. So one day we'll be saying that about Ann Letha and Stacy, visionaries, voicing.
Amen.
The problem, and not being afraid to call it what it is. And teachers are on strike dealing with more than just secondary traumatic stress. They are dealing with the issues that cause secondary traumatic distress or stress. So we have to address these topics. We will be back, like I said, January 28th, right here, 5 p.m. Pacific, 6 Mountain, 7 Central, 8 Eastern. And Letha, I want to let you know, I will be in Chi-Town at some point. Marshall Thompson, the last man standing of the Shy Lights, the godfather of vocal groups, is my partner in creativity right here on Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson. I rock
right.
The Shy Life all day. And when I get to Chicago, I will let you know. So,
absolutely. And thank you for having me. Thank you for having this platform. It's been wonderful.
And
Ms. Hollis, thank you for sharing. I had the pleasure, really quickly, ladies, I had the pleasure of going on a civil rights pilgrimage. And just to get this piece of unknown history from you has been a pleasure. So I have some research to do. She has now definitely piqued my interest.
Mine too.
So thank you. It's been a pleasure just to be in your presence tonight.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies.
Absolutely. You know, it's always an honor, and be sure to tune into Voices of Wisdom, February 7th, hosted by Mrs. Geraldine Hollis and Mr. Joseph Jackson, Jr., two of the original nine Tougaloo Nine members. Again, Teacher Talks with Stacey McClam and Beverly Black live on Tribe Family Channel. We are getting ready to sign off. Stacey, again, let everyone know where they can. First of all, let me just thank you again, Mrs. Geraldine Hollis and Letha, for tuning in. Bless you, and may you have a continued blessed, successful 2019. And don't be a stranger. Call back, all right?
Thank you. Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much. God bless. All right. Now, Stacey, back to you and I live on Tribe Family Channel, Teacher Talks. Let everyone know what the name of your book is and how they can catch up with you.
The name of my book is School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching. You can reach me on all social media platforms at Stacey McClam, STACIEMCCLAM as in Mary.
All right, all right. And I am Beverly Black, and again, I am the creator of Tribe Family Channel, which is a Gumbo for the Soul International family brand. And you can reach me at GumboForTheSoulInternational.com, Facebook.com/Tribe Family Channel, Twitter at Tribe Family US, and also on LinkedIn under Beverly Black. You can email TribeFamilyChannel@gmail.com for any station inquiries. And again, we hope that you have enjoyed this program. We will be back on January 28th at the same time and the same live Tribe Family Channel. Until then, be blessed and be a blessing. Stacey, continue doing your thing, queen, and have blessed travels. I'm looking forward to seeing your film journey.
Thank you so much, Beverly. Thank you for everything.
It's my
the inspiration
honor.
And the platform.
Absolutely my honor, queen. My honor. Couldn't do it without you. Ladies and gentlemen, Teacher Talks live on Tribe. That's the show. Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Yeah, I'm feeling good today. Sporting backpacks and they're on their way, yo. Kinda love the things we like. Going to my class, everything's alright, oh. No one as smart as you, no one as cold as you. No,
whatever grade level or type of school,
my class is gonna rule, yeah. Now I got my class together, I got my lesson plans together, yeah. You know I got my act together,
I'm shaping students that'll shape forever.
The greatest changes in the world will almost always start at schools. And you know my mom and daddy didn't raise no fool. I can change the world for better, I can change the world for worse. So I choose to be a teacher and a blessing, not a curse.
I'm singing this song to open up their eyes, jumping in my ride, gotta get there all time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, you're opening up the minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I run my class like I know I should.
I'm making young stars like I'm Hollywood. I thought you understood. I'm the difference in my class for the greater good, yeah.
Getting my class to spread the wind.
Being at school makes me wanna sing, oh. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. We can change the world together. Teachers, we can make it better.
Change the world.
It feels like it's been cold forever. I think it's time we change the weather.
We can, we will, we must succeed. Children are the future, and the future's gaining speed.
If you're gonna grow the plant, then you gotta plant the seed.
And if you're gonna reach a child, it starts by giving them what they need.
I'm singing this song to open up their eyes. I'm jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is on time, gotta open up their eyes. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
Teacher, I'm a teacher.
yeah.
You know, I think I'll start tomorrow.
I don't have that kind of space.
We got all of these excuses.
And we're not doing what it takes.
You're thinking you don't have the power.
Look me in the face.
You have the kind of power
that could change the human race.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes and jumping in my ride. Gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star. You can't stop my shine.
Oh,
class is online.
Yeah.
Gotta open up the mind. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a real good teacher.
I'm a teacher. Let me see the way you shine.
Tri-Family Channel, Tri-Family Channel.